Thank you so much, everyone, for being here this evening and sharing your prayer with this novena. I'm truly grateful and honored to be here with everyone. The Son of Man must suffer greatly, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed. Not exactly the most uplifting start to Lent, is it? For the past several years, I've spent the majority of my time accompanying folks in downtown Portland, many of whom are experiencing homelessness and poverty, mental illness, struggling with addiction and social isolation. And every year, Lent is the most difficult time of year. It's always at the end of a long, dark, and wet winter. And for whatever reason, the suffering is that much more acute. The pain is that much more heartbreaking during Lent. About a year ago, around this time, I had the chance to share a conversation with a man named William. He had the opportunity to tell me a little bit about his life and his story over a cup of coffee. William was in his early 50s, someone who always took great pride in his physical appearance. He had a neatly trimmed goatee, a gray golfer's cap, and this black leather coat that he always wore. And he had worked a variety of jobs over the course of his life, but his passions were photography and art. I still have a beautiful photograph he took of a dandelion in the springtime above my desk. And William had been married and had a couple of kids with his wife, but about 2 years prior to our conversation, things went into a downward spiral for William. Overuse of prescription painkillers developed into an addiction to heroin. And at about that point, 2 years before our conversation, everything spun out of control. The addiction took over his life. He lost his job, his wife, his kids, his home, everything. And I was awestruck. I had no words to respond to such suffering and despondence. And I had heard similar stories before. It wasn't that I hadn't heard those stories before, but for whatever reason, the timing with Lent, the honesty and the truth with which he shared his story left me without words. And we shared a moment of silence together, and then I managed to put a few words together, and I said, "William, I'm so sorry. I wish I had a magic wand I could wave to end your suffering and to heal your pain. But I guess all I have are 2 ears to listen to your story." And we shared another moment of silence, and William raised his eyes to mine, eyes a little bit lighter, his face just a little bit softer than only moments before, and he said, "Jeremy, sometimes I think that is the magic wand. Thank you for listening." In that moment, sitting there with William, it didn't matter where we had come from, it didn't matter who our parents were, it didn't matter what degrees we had to our name or how much money we had in our bank accounts. It didn't matter what choices we had made or where we stood with society. What mattered is that in that moment, William and I were able to be human together. There was no exclusion. There were no margins. There wasn't even the faintest residue of disappointment. Only kinship. Greg Boyle, a Jesuit priest in Los Angeles, says, "Disapproval and disappointment are not a part of God's DNA." Listen to that again. Disapproval and disappointment are not a part of God's DNA. God is too busy loving us to have any room left for disappointment. And in that moment with William, I think ever so briefly, we were able to catch a glimpse of one another with the eyes that God sees each of us. There's a wonderful poem by a woman named Kaylin Haught, and it's titled, "God Says Yes to Me." And it's written from the perspective of a young girl having a conversation with God. And it goes like this. I asked God if it was okay to be melodramatic, and she said yes. I asked her if it was okay to be short, and she said, it sure is. I asked God if I could wear nail polish or not wear nail polish, and she said, honey, she calls me that sometimes. She said, you can do exactly what you want to. Thanks, God, I said. And is it even okay if I don't paragraph my letters? Sweet cakes, God said. Who knows where she picked that up? What I'm telling you is, yes, yes, yes. This doesn't mean we don't have responsibilities. This doesn't mean that we don't have to answer the call of Jesus to take up our cross and go down a path that almost certainly will be difficult. This doesn't mean we don't have an obligation to resist the evils of injustice and violence and isolation in our communities and in our world. But it does mean that the starting point for any of that is accepting God's yes for us. Accepting God's yes for you, as you are, right now, unconditionally, God's love, yes. My friend William, who by society's standards was an outcast, has been one of my most profound spiritual teachers. And he reminded me, when I reflect on those words from the gospel, the Son of Man must suffer greatly, be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed. William reminds me that even in the dark days of the beginning of Lent, we need to finish that sentence. The Son of Man will suffer greatly, be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed. And on the third day, will be raised. On the third day, will be raised. Yes, yes. Yes.